Hey, everybody, it's Shaq. Have you had a chance to check out the number one podcast on Podcast One? That's right, The Big Podcast with Shaq. Me and my co-hosts, John Kincaid and Rob Jenners, we have a blast. With way more than just sports, we have the biggest guests from entertainment to the NBA. I promise you've never, ever heard a show like this. The Big Podcast with Shaq, with a new episode every Monday at PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Drew?
Yous guys.
Yous and Drews. Boy, did I have a mature young girl at my house earlier today. I must say this.
just immediately, uh-huh.
When you pay,
where are you going with this?
A mature little girl. When you buy your way into a better neighborhood and a better school system, you're really paying for the parents of the kids.
And the kids, to be fair.
Well, sure, yeah. The kids are a byproduct of the parents. Yeah. And then the parents raise little good individuals. And then those are the kids that your kids play with.
Mm-hmm.
So you've heard of the good influences or the bad influences. These would be the good influences. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and it's a two-way street. All the horrible influences, there's some good influences, too, when they're raised properly. Because when they're not raised properly, then they become a bad influence. My daughter, Natalia, has a little Asian friend named Cammy, and
in spite of the name,
she was explaining to my daughter that there was a new series that they should be watching, a show that they would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show we've done commercials for, Riverdale.
Oh, yeah.
The old Archies, but with a new twist. And she was explaining how good it was and how much she enjoyed it. So they should watch Riverdale. And that's what they were going to do today. But then she paused and said, but we can only watch the one episode I've already seen with my mom because it's not appropriate, and you should watch the series with an
parents.
Adult because it's for older kids, but we can watch the one that I've already watched because I'm grandfathered in.
You're pre-monitored.
Basically,
pre-screen.
But we can watch no more.
Yeah.
Wow. Could you imagine?
I can imagine Ray or Chris saying something like that back
while
in
he's
the
hitting
70s.
You with a folding chair and rubbing his nutsack on your forehead? Like, are you kidding me?
Did you stop and make note? Or you just heard it as they were lounging and passed by?
Am I talking about it now?
No.
Yes,
no,
I mean, stopped and made note.
I stopped and made note to her
and to me and to you.
And to your daughter, too, which
yes,
is an opportunity.
I do it all the time. This is like, you know, 2 years ago while driving them to
and,
the...
And what did Natalia... She went... Hit
me with a folding chair. No, she's pumped up because I'm building her a little platform for her bed.
Oh, nice.
These princess platforms. These platforms for building, well, it's a little bit hard to describe, but it's basically, well, it's not hard to describe. Hey, Gary, in my phone, I think we have, no, not the picture of the one I'm building. There's one, the one she wants.
Oh.
She sent me a text.
That's nice.
What it is it's a 2-foot riser.
Yeah.
2 foot off the ground. Your mattress goes on it.
Uh-huh.
It also has a space for like a landing for like a piece of shag carpet and a beanbag chair and then some little steps that go up to it and some drawers built into the face of it.
Uh-huh.
So it becomes this cool pad for your kids.
Nice.
I don't like to talk about myself, but I have to remind people all the time, your dad is rich enough to buy the $1,200 shag egg chair from Teen Pottery Barn and rich enough to buy all these materials, but he also knows how to build all of this stuff, and that's not normally the same brain.
No.
And they go, huh? You're blocking the set. And I think to myself, and I always say to them, isn't it nice that I know all this stuff? And they go, yeah. And I go, would it be nice for me?
Yeah.
If you knew some of things, then I would use that. It'd be awesome. So I am building this platform that we're supposed to be building together, but let's be honest. What's she going to do? And so we're out there in the garage building this thing, and Gary will show you a picture. But I did take note. I did take note when Cammy announced that she was not mature enough for any new versions of Riverdale, but the one that she'd already seen. Now, this told me two things. This is not just, oh, Miss Goody Two-Shoes playing by the rules. Oh, no. She's watching the show that she's not supposed to watch without supervision. She has decided that this is okay. She's using her brain.
Yeah, she's using judgment.
This is not the meter maid who's writing me a ticket for my truck when I'm on Normandy doing earthquake work in the 80s going, street sweeper between 10 and noon. And I'm going, it's 11:42. You see the wet tracks that have gone by? That means they passed. And now I'm pulling in. No parking between 10 and noon for the street cleaner. But the street cleaner's passed, and now I'm parking. Can't park between. This is the opposite of that. This is, I may make judgments here. Mm-hmm. This show, you should not watch unless you're supervised. But if I already saw this one, then I'm pre-supervised. But I will watch no more fresh episodes. That is not only responsible, but that's also making a decision as well.
Ooh.
Oh, we're looking at that.
Uh-oh.
We're looking at the little princess up there.
Wow.
It's nice, right?
Yeah.
We're looking at some drawers and some cabinets and some doors and about a 2-foot riser and furniture.
Is he going to go the whole side of the room like that?
It's pretty much running the full length of the room.
Use that kind of drawer and stuff set up or no?
I get to do whatever I want,
yeah,
Drew. That's the beauty of the Ace Man. I can build whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. We just built the I just laid out. Now, the thing about me is I don't draw anything out. I don't really work anything out. I just go. Mm. And I do the treads and I do the risers. But they're little things, Drew. Mm. Little things. I was trying to explain to old guy. She's paid to listen. Mm-hmm. I should say that on her.
Yes,
on her
Mr.
Shirt.
Adam, tell me more about the risers.
Well, no one else in the house is paid to listen. And quite frankly, they've had an impacted ass full of me. So they won't listen. But she will listen. And she also likes getting better at things and not making the same mistake twice.
Let's see it again. Show us.
Things of that nature.
Gary, picture. Adam's going to make some notes.
When you are calculating, when you are calculating the stairs, you must do a tread and you must do a riser.
Okay.
So you think to yourself, well, how much are we climbing up?
Yeah.
And you go, well, 24 inches. And you go, fine. 3 × 8 = 24. Each riser will be 8 inches.
Okay.
And I will cut it out. I will lay it out. I'm making the tread oversized because it's a little girl and it's her bedroom. It's not a set of stairs on the side of a building.
Okay.
So I'm making my tread at 14 inches, which is oversized, but it's fine for this application. It's intentional. And I'm going to make my treads, well, what do we say, 24? So I'm going to make them all 8 inches. Now, they're not all 8 inches. Why are they not all the same? Drew's a man of math, a man of science. Why wouldn't I just lay out the tread and the riser, use a big framing square, and just go up 8 inches over 14, up 8 inches over 14, boom.
Because you have to rest the tread on the riser, and that adds a little height.
Right. To which ones?
Well, that's the question I was going to ask. Do you do it to both of them? Do you have it, or do you insert just the top?
Two of them have 3/4 treads on the tread, and then when you land on the landing, that's another 3/4 inch. So the top two are going to have 3/4 and 3/4, wherever that number is, whatever you cut that is. If you cut it at 8, it's going to be 8. Put 3/4 at the bottom, then add 3/4 at the top, and we're back to 8.
Do you ever do anything where
the floor?
Yeah,
we're not adding anything to
because it's a board that's up against everything.
No, the floor is the floor. We're not putting 3/4 inch on the floor. It's on the floor. That is our tread.
No, I understand.
So, but let me explain. So now the bottom one has to be 7 1/4. Because we're adding 3/4 to make it 8, but we're not putting it back onto the floor.
Do you ever do a
you
thing?
You got Gary with me?
I get you. Gary's I get you. No, my question is, and I don't know, I'm just asking because I'm curious. Do you, I guess you wouldn't. You can't.
Drew, you have a lame question? You can keep it
to yourself. It's lame. Why don't you have the what do you call the one at the bottom? The baseboard or?
Riser.
The riser at the bottom. Cover the entire thing. In other words, you know what I mean? As opposed to fitting in. If that makes sense. Rather than the. You can't really do that. Okay, I get it.
All right. So anyway, knocking out the princess palette, the pedestal, got the mattress measured up, got the furniture measured up, going to put the carpet squares, going to paint it white, going to put the drawers on the right and cabinet on the left.
Nice.
And knocked this shit out. And she's thrilled about it. It's a good thing. Now, could you imagine doing anything close to this with your dad?
No. neither could my kids imagine doing it with me.
No, so. But you took your two sons over to my wood shop and had them work on the Pine Box Derby stuff using my tools.
Yep.
That was you. You're being too magnanimous here, Drew.
All right.
That was you. Taking your kids, driving them over from Pasadena to Sherman Oaks and taking them to your friend's house and having them work on their projects together.
That's true.
Did you do any of that stuff with your dad?
No.
This is a kajillion miles away from my dad because there would have been three boxes he would have never checked.
Driving?
You'd have to spend money. You have to buy okay, X amount of right. sheets of plywood and, right. you know, blah, blah, blah.
But normally his thing is spending ATP. Burning energy is where he would stop right there.
Yeah, it would involve doing something with a family member. That's a non-conversation starter right there. I mean, it's just insane. But also, on the other hand, it is so simple. If you know how to do it or you'd like to do it or you have the inclination or you don't want to work it out, it is not that big a deal. For me, it's almost nothing.
Yeah,
it's really almost nothing. It's a little time. It's a little money. But it's really not a big deal. All right. Let me tell you guys we're talking about driving. How about True Car, man? True Car. You can go new. You can go used. You can go from over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're looking to buy new or used, you get upfront pricing. You get info. You get discounts off the list price. You get a better buying experience. You see what others paid for the car you want, and then you lock in your price from your certified dealer, and they're local, and you just go bring your certificate down, and you pick up your vehicle. Yeah. So, when you're ready to buy, and you want the best, and you want peace of mind, and you ain't going to get it for free, you're just not going to get gouged. You're going to pay what the vehicle's worth, what other people are paying for the same vehicle, apples to apples. Visit True Car. Some features not available in all states. It is True Car. All right, Drew, let's see. Got a call up there you like?
Just go straight down the line, I think.
All right. Let's talk to Abdul, 26, Saudi Arabia.
Hello, Adam. Dr. Drew, how are you?
Good to speak to you, Abdul.
I want to ask a question about type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. Is it a risk that it's going to move to the children? And what is the risk of it on the relationship?
I'm not sure I quite understand the question. In other words, do you have type 1 diabetes?
No, I'm thinking about marrying a girl that has type 1 diabetes.
Right. And has she been well controlled her whole life? Do you know?
I don't know. She had it like 4 years ago. She is 22 now.
How many years ago? Four?
Four, yes.
Four years. Four. Okay. Yes. So there's several different things. I mean, obviously, in terms of establishing a family, you know, there's some added risk to pregnancy and whatnot. There's some added familial risk of diabetes, but it's not as though it's going to be passed down. It's not that kind of a disease you're necessarily going to pass to the next generations. It's more the predilection might get passed down. There's some people that theorize you need a kind of a second hit to get type 1 diabetes. She's only had
a second hit?
Like a virus or something. It's just theories about it. But she's only had it for 4 years, so thankfully she didn't go through her adolescence with when many type 1 diabetics sort of cast aside their disease and don't pay attention to it and getting all kinds of complications as a result. So she's probably well controlled. So she doesn't have the neuropathies and she doesn't have the things like sexual dysfunction you might worry about that people get sometimes if they've had uncontrolled diabetes. So in terms of affecting the relationship, it doesn't really affect the relationship at all, really, except that she does have a chronic condition. And if she keeps her sugar tightly controlled, she can live essentially a normal lifespan. If she doesn't, well, then it's going to be a big issue. Or if she develops other problems like, you know, drug addiction or alcoholism or something, things can get very dicey. But by itself, I mean, it's not that big a deal anymore. Just add some extra.
Okay.
Needs more attention.
What do you do over there in Saudi Arabia?
I am a mechanical engineer. I work in a power plant.
Nice.
What kind of power plant?
Yes. Crude gas and natural gas. Crude oil and natural gas, sorry.
Do we have crude oil power plants here, or is it all just coal? Like, you have a lot of crude there, so it kind of makes sense. Do we have crude here?
We have natural gas.
But I don't think we do crude.
Yeah.
Do you guys do crude because you have so much crude oil?
Yes, and we have – it's a combined cycle, so we use also the output of the gas turbine to generate using a steam turbine.
Yeah.
How are you guys – how are you doing on – nuclear. Is any of that going on?
No, we are doing solar energy plants and wind. Also, we have some new wind plants is under construction, but no nuclear.
It seems like
no nuclear yet.
Seems like solar and wind would work out in your neck of the woods. Yeah.
Solar, yes, at the north border of Saudi, they are doing a huge plant now. They think like in 2040, they want like half of the power generated used from solar panels.
Yeah, I'm with this. Thank you. That's weird. Somebody tweeted me today like, you got to find out the real news about climate change and this, that, and the other. And I was like, I watch Al Gore and Bill Maher. there's this weird thing, which is you got to start looking at other opinions. And it's like, you don't get it. Everything's another opinion. This thing of like, sometimes people will say to me like, oh, you have Ben Shapiro on your show. What are you having all these conservative guys? Like, you don't get every comedian, everybody I have on this show is the opposite of Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
Ben Shapiro is once every year and three quarters.
Yeah.
Everyone else is
the other opinions.
It's David Wilde. Like, it's everybody else. Like, that is everybody else. Like, this thing of like, you have to open yourself up to seeing counter opinions on global warming. I watch Bill Maher on Friday nights. Bill Maher's first guest is
Al Gore.
Al Gore. Al Gore talks about that, and I watch and I listen. Can't hide from that side.
But there's another piece of this, too, that really bothers me, is people don't listen. They can't hear anymore. You and I were discussing the fact that global warming is here, and we were just quandering why people aren't sort of spending money preparing for it rather than pushing back something that we don't seem to be able to do anything about. And that's, by the way, these new government studies suggest that we can't do anything about this. And so fine. Now, what are we going to do? Let's spend our money figuring out. And then I said, and by the way, if you look at when there's been increased sun energy on Earth, which there has through many, many millennia, it's not been bad for biology. It's been rather good for biology. It might not be good for polar bears, and we need to work on helping them. But it might save the rainforest and might create more biodiversity. And I'm just raising the question. I'm not saying it is so. I'm saying, hey, it's an interesting thought. It's a thought experiment. I wonder what's wrong with that thought. There may be something wrong with that thought, by the way.
Well,
and I brought it up on a radio or something, and somebody called me and went, oh, I'll tell you what's wrong with your thought. It's going to get so warm that the Greenland ice is going to melt, and it's going to create another ice age. I'm like, okay, well, now I know no one knows anything.
Right.
Because now you're going to fit an argument into any box, and that's concerning to me.
Part of my problem that you people have to understand is I have been on the planet for 53 years, and for 45 and a half of them, I've been hearing about how the planet was dying.
Oh, and I was involved in some of that in the 70s.
And much faster than we could ever anticipate.
Acid rain and choking off the river. I was way involved in that stuff. I announced to my parents, I got from college, said, it's over. We got about 10 years left. That's it.
Yeah. You should have come home to my house because my mom would have been, where are you, Mom? I'm digging a grave in the backyard, sweetie. There's nothing for dinner, but there'll be no one to save with the world in the grave. We're on the brink of destruction. Yeah, I mean, when you look at Barry Maguire's Eve of Destruction, that song's from 1968.
How about Silent Spring? Remember that one?
Oh, we got to look that one up. Nick, what year were you born?
87.
All right, so 20 years before you were born, there was a top 10 song about us being on the eve of destruction. Yeah. And the eve means you should have never been born. Now, as much as that would have been a windfall for us over here at Corolla Digital.
I like the way he's even listening anymore.
You have to see things through my glasses with the shit smeared on them, which is I've been hearing about this since I've been living on this planet. I'm also the guy who has every single light bulb in my house is LED and never stops walking around flipping off lights. Yeah. Drew, you see the switch with the red light on it that operates thing. What we do.
I try to run the air here a little lower than you'd like, and you won't allow it.
I don't have any problem with running the air whatever temperature you'd like while we're sitting in this room.
Okay.
If this thing runs over the weekend when I'm at home, I will go insane.
Yeah.
Not for money, for waste.
Here it is.
What year is this?
Barry. 65.
The Eastern world, it is exploding.
Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war.
You know, in a weird way, all the stuff we've been going through recently has been sort of a romantic reenactment.
Yeah, of this.
Yeah.
Right.
This stuff hasn't changed.
The kids of these assholes are now singing their own songs and ruining my goddamn adult life.
Yeah, but
my childhood was already destroyed. Now my adult life is
ruined.
Things were
in trouble. Things were worse then. They actually were in trouble. Do you remember?
Sort of.
Can't you feel the fears?
We'll let them say we're on the grave.
There's no running away.
There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave.
Take a look around you, boy.
It's bound to scare you. Yeah, shut the fuck up. God, do I hope this asshole's dead. It'd be so nice. Number one hit on Billboard, September 1965.
Here's something we can do other than turn the air up. We can get some blinds in there. We did. I was looking around this morning, all those beautiful blinds. It is amazing. They do blinds galore. Does one thing, and they do it better than anyone. They create 100% custom window treatments to your exact measurements, down to every little detail, and they help you in the process. They've covered over 2 million windows and counting. I've got about 9 of them covered by them, and they look great. Their experts guide you every step. They send you a kit, samples. You get confused, they'll walk you through it. And free shipping on top of the free expertise. We've all got them. Blinds galore. They make it easier to get the designer blinds and shades you've always wanted without that designer price tag. And we even had to send ours back. There was a little bit of a mistake in the, you know, I don't know who measured us or them, but Matt took it right back. No problem.
It was you.
Probably. But they didn't have, there was no quarrel about it. So go check out blindsgalore.com. Let them know Adam and Drew sent you. Again, go to Blinds Galore. Get the shades you've always wanted without the designer price tag. That is blindsgalore.com.
Barry Maguire, unfortunately, still alive at 81.
Sorry.
Now, I hope he's not sitting around with his fucking acoustic guitar and his ponytail still yammering about this shit, which is an insane thing that these people take this shit to the grave and they're still preachy about it, even though you called for the end of human existence in 1973 and it's 2017 and now you're calling for the end of human existence in 2020 with a fucking straight face or pretending like they have to listen to you.
For a different reason.
Right. Hopefully, I pray that Barry Maguire was just cashing in on a trendy subject and trying to sell some disc and get light. I pray.
I mean, he didn't really mean it.
Right. Gary's got to find a picture of this guy, though, because if he's got a ponytail, it's off, baby.
Barry McGuire, you mean?
Yeah.
You got it.
Not the guy who makes it, car wax. That's a stand-up dude.
That is a McGuire car wax.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ryan, 32, Las Vegas.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going on, man?
So, about 3 weeks ago, I'm heading out to lunch. I get to the restaurant, and I get incredibly lightheaded, sweaty, feel like I'm going to pass out. I walk into the bathroom, splash some water on my face, try and hold it together, and wind up driving back to the job and laying down and falling asleep for about 2 hours.
Sounds so, like a good job.
It's a good gig. I get back out the next day.
Well, let me ask him, why didn't you go to a hospital or call a doctor right then?
Because I thought it was a panic attack or some type of anxiety thing. I've had similar feelings before.
Okay.
And, you know, like...
hold on. I need to see him today. I want to know if he's still rocking the hippie.
It could be anxiety. That's a possibility, but go ahead.
Okay. So it's been on and off now for about 3 weeks. I've noticed that anytime I'm in the gym... doing yoga, something like that, I feel great. And then, but in the morning, a little bit of this weird feeling, like I might pass out. I've been at the grocery store a few times in line, and it's happened. And I don't know, I just moved out to Vegas. It's been, you know, over 100 degrees for 2 straight months now. I don't know what to do with it. I'm kind of...
Do you take any medication?
Nothing.
Do you have any medical problems?
I am as healthy as can be.
All right. Well, you need to get a complete and thorough examination. This may be what are called vasovagal reactions, which is just sort of swooning, no big deal, maybe related to the heat, as you say. But you need a complete and thorough medical examination. There are, I could think of 30 things off the top of my head that could be causing this. Some are cardiovascular, some are more serious, metabolic. But they all need to be checked out, and the doctor needs a chance to look at you, evaluate you, and start going down the path of whatever evidence comes his or her way to lead him into that workup that'll give you the answer for what's going on here. It could be some congenital cardiac defect, could be cardiac rhythm problems, could be something, you know, growing somewhere causing some metabolic issues. Who knows? We just don't know. You could be losing blood somewhere. Maybe you're lightheaded because of that. Whatever it is, you need a complete and thorough medical evaluation like yesterday.
Drew, in your professional medical opinion, is he on the eve of destruction?
No, he's not on the eve of destruction, I trust.
Okay.
Not the eve. Okay. And he's not well. And he's not on the eve of destruction.
All right. Let's see. Question about Drew and his intermittent fasting. Zach, does Drew still use intermittent fasting at all?
That's right. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah,
I've had some great success with it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I try to. I do try to do that, but go ahead.
Explain how the intermittent fasting
works.
You
eat once a day, essentially. And I'm the kind of person, you know.
Is that the definition of intermittent fasting?
It's like eating, you know, 16 hours, no eat. 16 hours.
Make it a calories. Span.
No calories. And whatever it is about my evolutionary biology is that's how I'm set up. That's clearly how my ancestors survived.
Set up to lose weight. Or set up to thrive.
To thrive and not gain weight and not be unhealthy.
So is the best way to do it, eat a meal at 6 p.m. and then don't eat again? And it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. One meal
doesn't
a day.
Matter.
Yeah. And I know for me.
Well, one meal a day, but if you ate breakfast at 8 a.m.,
then that's it.
There's no eating at 10 p.m.
Nope.
Well, it's been 14 hours.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get a little something. But, I mean, you really want to get it down to one meal a day.
Get it down to one meal a day.
It's hard to do that. It's hard to do that religiously.
Well, hold on a second. It makes sense to me that if you're going to be asleep for 7 or 8 hours, that's a nice way to not eat.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not bothered. You're not walking past bowls of cookies and stuff. So
maybe afternoon eating is the way to go.
This makes sense to... eat at 5 in the afternoon, and then when you go to bed and you wake up at 8, you kill an hour and eat or whatever it is.
Yeah. So my thing is I'm the kind of person that when I start eating, I cannot stop. cannot.
Well, you're a man of passion.
I'm a man of passion. As you well know, it applies to all my appetites.
He has quite a prodigious appetite, I say. This is a good thing.
Prodigious appetite, yes. No, prodigious bosom.
Yes, that's Woody Allen.
Yes.
And a fur regiment.
Prodigious bosom, yes. Prodigious bosom, yes. But anyway, so if I am, when I'm not eating, I can tolerate hunger, no problem. It's no big deal. I'm hungry. I'm not hungry. I forget about it, whatever. But when I eat, I eat, no matter what.
You know, my problem is whatever the activity is, I start thinking about, like, hey, don't eat, you know, don't eat. Yeah. But obviously, good luck walking around with this mantra, like, don't eat, especially my house is just chock full of, it used to be real easy for me. There was nothing around.
Right.
And there's a big difference between going, I'm not going to get my car and I'm not going to Taco Bell, versus every time I open the fridge, there's a new offering that was put there.
Spilling out.
Literally, like, the cakes and desserts and all the great, you know, the worst, you want to know what happens to me? Mm. What happens to me is I pay for everything and I hate wasting stuff. And so they go, well, we're going out to dinner then without you. And I go, okay. And they go out to dinner and then they come home with big piles of pasta and all the stuff that they couldn't finish that they're bringing home. And now they've all had it the night before and it's not going to get eaten the next night. And now I'm staring at it.
I'm looking
now. My two intersections, which is eating and wasting, that's what gets me.
I today found the best diet article I've ever seen.
Really? Hold on.
Yep.
Hold on.
Yep.
The best diet article you've ever seen.
Yeah. It was.
I want to tease this for the next show.
Okay. All right.
All right. But I like this. So tomorrow's show, we will start with the best diet article.
We should maybe get this guy on the show.
You've ever seen?
Yeah. It was really the most comprehensive, most bullshit unloading. You know, there was like, you know, bullshit defying, you know, getting rid of all the crap that's out there about diets and being based in good science.
All right. I also have some diet thoughts involving cooking rice. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Free Wi-Fi, convenient, when you're on the go, but it's not always safe. 92% of Americans can put their personal risk and the personal info into the public Wi-Fi, and they are at risk because that's where the thieves get it. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not detect if you're only monitoring your credit. Thieves could get your information, sell it on the dark web, or get an online payday loan in your name. Let's not let that happen. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. They're specialists. That's what they do. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock, well, I have it. My kids have it. My wife has it. And if you're on the internet and you're doing as much business as I'm doing on the internet, it only makes sense to have LifeLock. Drew.
Act now. Get the added protection of Norton Security for free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll get a special 15% off the first year of the LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code ADAM15 for that 15%. Again, it is ADAM15 to save 15% today. Terms apply.
I'm doing a one-man show in Chicago, Minneapolis, Nashville. So just go to AdamCarolla.com if you'd like to check that out. Go to CarollaDrinks.com. Use the code Harley. It's code for free shipping on purchases of two or more bottles.
Nice.
And you can rate and review us on iTunes. Leave something nice. Maybe Ozzy will read it. And Chassis, my website. You can check out all the new offerings we have over there at Chassis. 2S's and a Y.com. Drew.
Go to doctrue.com. Check out the This Life. Me and Bob Forrest. Me and Mike Catherwood. You Live versions. And me and Spaz. We're busy with some really interesting guests.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Eastman Guitars presents the Carolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour, August 22nd in Santa Barbara, California, with Loxy. Baby, let's roll and get it. Kills. Just another Southern California. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com. Now the pretty girls start to look the same. And comedy with your host, Matt Edgar.
Hi, you working high at Chevron?
Still.
Good to know, dude. Now I know where to get my weed and gas. I'll put 20 on 10 and 20 on a 10.
And special guest, Taylor Morgan.
And I remember when I got my first check for acting, the check said right on it, actor's fee. And I showed a friend of mine who was like, you know, I really want to frame it because it's the first one, but I sort of need the $50. And he said, no way, you frame it. I will give you the $50. Which I thought was so nice. So I showed another friend and I was like, you know, really? Frame it.
The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour at Soho Restaurant and Music Club. Follow on Twitter at SohoSB. Sponsored by Eastman Guitars. Visit EastmanGuitars.com, Loxy, and The Smokin' Kills. Plus Matt Edgar and Taylor Morgan. Tuesday, August 22nd. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.
Bye, loyal woman, through the weather, yeah.